This shiur will not be politically correct, just putting that out there. A couple of months ago, I was at an Ashkenaz shul where a certain minhag was going to be done, and an argument broke out between two Ashkenazim as to which Mesorah should be followed. One of them said we should follow the Ashkenaz custom because it was an Ashkenaz shul. And the other said we should follow the Sephardi custom because they have a stronger Mesorah than we do, and there were some Sephardim that were present. Now this got me upset. I'm not a nationalist, and there are times when a different Mesorah may be stronger than ours. However, we, Ashkenazim, we need to know where we come from and how the Rishonim and Achronim of Ashkenaz, the mighty Ashkenaz of old, viewed our Mesorah and how we are, ostensibly, still bound by this tradition. Baruch Hashem, I could say I live in a very eclectic neighborhood. There are all different types of Jewry here, Sfardim, Temanim, etc. And of course, everyone should follow their traditions. It's not my intent to belittle anyone's Mesorah. However, we, Ashkenazim, we should understand our Mesorah and be as proud of it as any Sfardi or Temani. Most of the information I'm going to share comes from Rabbi Yom Shlomo Hammerger. So I plan on speaking on this topic on Shavuos. And the question is, why? Wouldn't it be better to speak on Shavuos about a direct Torah topic? So we know that learning Torah is considered the most important mitzvah, because learning Torah leads to the performance of mitzvos. However, we know that the Mishnah in Avos states that guarding the Mesorah is a protection for Torah, and therefore it is appropriate to speak about this topic of Mesorah on Shavuos. If you look in source number one, it says Rabbi Akiva Omer Mesoras Siyag LaTorah. How did Jews come to Ashkenaz? So it's difficult to say exactly, as records from the time are sparse, and the countries of the time do not necessarily have the same names now as they did then. However, the procession is basically as follows. When the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Romans brought Jews with them to Italy, and from there Jews moved to France, and from France they wound up in Germany. And this is the progression to Ashkenaz. For example, we know that Rashi lived in France and he learned in Germany. French Jewry was destroyed, and then Ashkenaz, in the narrow sense, refers specifically to Germany. Now, I have many sources, many books, articles on this topic, but I wanted something short and concise, so I took the following from Encyclopedia Judaica, number 2. This is from the entry Germany. The first Jews to reach Germany were merchants who went there in the wake of the Roman legions and settled there and settled in the Roman-founded Rhine towns. Jews entered Central Europe in this period from the west and the southwest. Jewish merchants from southern Italy and France were welcomed in Germany and settled in the towns along the great rivers and trade routes. The Clonimus family from Lucca, which we're going to mention again, this is one of the main families that established Ashkenaz Jewry. The Clonimus family from Lucca established itself in Mainz in the 10th century. Like the Jews of France, German Jewry in its early stages drew its inspiration in matters of religion and religious practice straight from the centers of Jewish creative activity in Eretz Yisrael. And this is going to be our theme, that our Mesorah was guarded midor lidor all the way back from the times of the Bayis Sheni, which is what it's basically saying here. Centers of Jewish creative activity in Eretz Yisrael, and he just brings a little, I guess, proof to that. A 12th century Jewish scholar speaks of a letter he saw in Worms, which Rhine Jews had sent to Eretz Yisrael in 960, asking for verification of the rumor that the Messiah had come. Now, Polish Jewry began later. Life in Germany was difficult, and persecutions were common. Some of the Ashkenazim in Germany emigrated to Poland in search of a reprieve from the terrible conditions that were around them. So this comes from Encyclopedia Judaica, the entry Poland. This is number 3. It says, Jews came to Poland, mainly from the west and southwest, and from the very beginning were of Ashkenazi culture. Jews did first come to Poland as transient, dust-covered merchants, and they did come there to escape the suffering and pressure brought to bear on them in the lands of the German Empire. It's important to note that Germany, Ashkenaz proper, continued to have Jewry, but people definitely migrated. It's not like everyone one day got up and left Germany. There were no Jews in Germany, and later on they came back. That's not true. Someone actually once tried to tell me that. That's absolutely not true. Jews definitely migrated to Poland and to other areas, but they remained in Germany as well. And this is important for us. And we'll see in source 3a here. This comes from Mordechai Breuer, who's a well-known historian. from the book German Jewish History Modern Times, Volume 1. Thus, the situation of Jews in the 15th century was precarious. They lived in constant insecurity, and the necessity for sudden flight was persistently on their minds. The onerous burden of taxation prompted many Jews to flee Germany. Initially, they migrated in the main to northern Italy. In the course of the 15th century, the stream of emigrants to Lithuania and Poland swelled, later on increasing to the Ottoman Empire as well. The only urban Jewish communities that did not suffer the upheaval of expulsion in the 15th century were in Frankfurt am Main, Worms, and Friedberg. Now, this is important because many of the main centers in Germany of Jews, like Frankfurt and Worms and other places, even if they had expulsions, they were brief expulsions, and Jews resettled there pretty soon afterwards and reestablished their traditions, and we're going to touch on this as well. There and elsewhere, the Jews were forced into a cramped and more or less closed quarter, a ghetto, in an unfavorable location or on the outskirts of the town. The first Jews ordered into such a separate quarter were the community in Frankfurt am Main in 1462. The city granted them a form of collective protection. Developments in the towns were overshadowed by the displacement of the Jews into the countryside and their dispersion throughout hundreds of villages. So this as well, that the Jews in Germany, many of them lived for hundreds and hundreds of years in these tiny little communities. Sometimes they did not even have a minyan, and they kept their Mesorah intact. And this is what he's talking about. Developments in the towns were overshadowed by the displacement of the Jews into the countryside and their dispersion throughout hundreds of villages. In such rural localities, there was generally only a very small number of Jews living together. Without the protection of the city, but also free from the fear of violence by urban mobs, these Lanjuden were dependent on the goodwill of major or minor potentates. For centuries to come, rural Jews would form the core of German Jewry and determine its character. Without constant contact from the intellectual and social dynamism of the cities, German Jews in the countryside clung for many generations to their distinctive traditions and character. The reason that there really aren't Polish Rishonim is because Polish Jewry basically began at the end of the Rishonim period, which is generally considered around the end of the 15th century or so, before the Shulchan Aruch was set. For example, one of the first Polish Rabbanim was Rabbi Yaakov Palak, who was born in 1470, which is really the cusp. The Rama was born in 1520. The important point that we will see and focus on is that the Rishonim and Achronim, both in Germany, in the narrow sense of Ashkenaz, and in Poland and Lithuania, the broad sense and use of the word Ashkenaz, all the way down to our time, have understood themselves to be descendants of and bound by this Mesorah of Ashkenaz, which, as we pointed out, refers to all Jewry that is not Sephardi or Temani. And the sources we're going to quote are literally just a drop in the sources on this topic. In essence, most Ashkenazim are descendants of German Jewry. And there are many proofs to this, like the Yiddish language, for example. The Rebbe would ask his Talmidim for to teich, or touch, a word, and the translation of the word teich is deitch. Yiddish is a dialect of German. It's a southern Bavarian dialect, which of course changed and developed in the varying countries and cultures that surrounded the Jews in whichever country they were in. However, I don't want to focus on secondary proofs. I want to focus on a small portion of statements from the Rishonim and Achronim that refer specifically to Ashkenaz. One other point. I would be remiss if I did not mention that there is another theory as to how Eastern European Jewry developed. Until now, we have said that most are descendants of German Jewry, with some exception. Right? You have some crossover from Sephardic Jewry, and into Sephard you had Ashkenaz crossover, etc. But that's relatively minor. This other theory, which was put forth really late, assuming I understand the history properly, in 1976, by Arthur Kossler, and it states that most Ashkenaz Jews outside of Germany are descendants of the Khazars. Right? We know Rabbi Yehuda Halevi wrote his book Khuzari about the Khazars. Now, this theory has been rejected by just about all serious historians. It's been disproven time and again, and is generally considered to be Palestinian propaganda, as it shows that Jews are not Semites, and the Palestinians and their supporters use this theory. What's more important is that the Rishonim and Achronim that we will see clearly tell the history that we have outlined, that we Ashkenazim are descendants of these same Jews who left Eretz Yisrael and wound up in Germany and the surrounding European countries, and this is expressed in our halachic, Mesorah, and Minhag-oriented teshuvos. Our Mesorah also has a strong element of Yerushalmi in it, as well as Bavli, because our Mesorah is a blend of both. Now, I don't know if that's 50-50 or 40-60 or 60-40. Every halacha, every minhag needs its own study. And since we come in a direct line from Eretz Yisrael, this is only natural, and over time the Bavli had more influence on Ashkenaz, unlike Sfardim, who have a clearer Mesorah directly from Bavli, or so I understand. Of course, Sfardim also connect themselves directly back to Eretz Yisrael, but it's through Bavel. In Ashkenaz, they connected themselves back to Eretz Yisrael directly. They did not use Bavel as a stop along the way. And we're going to discuss this as well a little bit. What's special about the Mesorah of Ashkenaz? So the Mesorah of Ashkenaz, the claim is that it's been guarded, it's been known to have been guarded more carefully than any other land, directly back to Eretz Yisrael, and we will see this in the sources through discussions of various minhagim and halachos. In all the sources that we're going to quote, I'm not concerned with the halacha or the minhag under discussion per se. That's really secondary. What we want to focus on is, how did these Rishonim and Achronim understand Ashkenaz? So I'd like to begin with Rambam. This is in source number 4. And this Rambam will show us how the Ashkenazim kept and guarded their Minhagim, which was not the case in other locations. The Rambam was upset that a Kohen, who is an Am Haaretz, will have an Aliyah before a Talmid Chacham, who is not a Kohen. So let's see the Mishnah in Gittin. The Mishnah says, Velu Devarim Amrum Mipnei Darkei Shalom. The following things were instituted for general peace. Kohen, Kori Rishon, Va'acharov Levi, Va'acharov Yisrael, Mipnei Darkei Shalom. Everyone knows, Kohen gets an Aliyah, then a Levi gets an Aliyah, then a Yisrael gets an Aliyah. The Rambam says as follows, in the Perish HaMishnayos, he writes, Da, you should know, Shezeh Hadavar HaMifursam B'chol HaMekomos, this matter, that's well known everywhere, Sheyiyah HaKohen Kori B'Beis HaKnesses Rishon, Bein Sheyiyah Tamid Chacham O'am Aretz, Hine Hu Davar She'en Lo Shoresh B'Tor Klal. Rambam does not like this at all. He says there is no source in the Torah for this custom. V'lo Nizkar Zeh B'Shas, you'll not find this in the Gemara anywhere. V'lo Haya Zos HaKavana HaNirmezes Aleha B'Zos HaAlacha. It says this was never the intent of our Mishnah. V'ani nifla hafla v'fela. He says, I am absolutely astounded. Me'are hagalas shenohagim mizeh haminog. Now this phrase, me'are hagalas, what does it mean? This is the key to understanding the Rambam here. If you look down in source number 5, directly under this source we're doing now, the footnote says, b'mekor ha'aravi, so he quotes the Arabic phrase Rambam uses in the original, and he says, heim, Yishuve HaYehudim BeEmpire HaRomait HaGdola. This refers to the Jews in the larger Roman Empire, Sheshalta BeAshkenaz VeTzarfat, that live in Germany and in France. So now we know that this phrase of Rambam, Me'are HaGolos, means Ashkenaz. So let's read it again. Va'ani Nifla Hafla V'Fela. He says, I'm absolutely astounded. Me'are HaGolos, from these Ashkenazim, Shenohagim B'Zeh HaMinog, that follow this custom. Achar HaYosam Biriyim Mecholo'ei HaMinhagos, because they are healthy from messed up Minhagim, Umideos Ha'acharonos B'darcheihem, Ha'acharonim B'darcheihem, and from outside influence, Vein Etzlam Ela Inyanim Neosim Lulshon Hashas. Says, and what they do is only proper according to the Gemara. Veini Yodea Me'eze Makum Balahem Zeha Hefsid. He says, I have no idea how this got into Ashkenaz. So while we could understand how this got into other lands where things aren't going so well in Ashkenaz itself, it's astounding that they follow such a thing. So obviously we don't follow this Rambam, but his point is very clear. Okay, now if Rambam speaks this way, we should not be surprised if Ashkenazim speak at least as strongly, if not more strongly than this. So let's move on to Rush. The Rush we know fled Germany, and he lived in Toledo, in Spain, where he became Rav, as arranged for him by the Rashba. We know that to eat a bird, you not only does it have to have simani kashrus, but you need to have a Mesorah on it as well. And the Rush was confronted with the problem of following the Mesorah in Spain regarding a certain bird. So let's see source number 6 to see how he dealt with this. He begins by saying that one needs a Mesorah on birds, and just to point out, the bird under discussion, at least according to the Art Scroll Stone Chumash that quotes this Rush, he says it's the stork. So we'll keep that in mind. V'chein, this is source 6, V'chein matzinu b'chachmei ha-Talmud, we find in the Gemara, shehayu ochlin of, they would eat a bird, v'hayu sivurin shehutar, under the assumption it was permissible, ki matzu lo simani tahara, because they found on the bird simani tahara, so you could eat it. V'achar kachasru, when the Rabbanim would come along and say, no, that's not kosher, it's the aser bird. V'kol shekein bedorus halalu, she'ein lismoch al bedikas ofos. He says, certainly today we cannot rely on simanim, and you need to have a misora. Vida, ki ani lo hayisi ochel al pi ha-misoras shelohem. He says, you should know, I will not rely on their tradition, on the tradition of Spanish Jewry. Ki ani ma-chazik es ha-misoras shelanu, because I keep our tradition. V'kabbalah savosinu zecher levracha, and the accepted tradition of our fathers. Chachmei Ashkenaz, she Hoysa HaTorah Yerushalahem Me'avoseihem Mimosa Churban, that have a direct tradition of the Torah passed down to them from the times of Bayis Sheni. V'chein, Kabbalah Savasinu Ravasinu Shebit Sarfat, and of French Jewry as well. We already explained that Ashkenaz and Sarfat are considered back then as basically one thing. Yoser mi Kabbalah Svenei Ha'aretz Hazos. He says, much more so than the tradition of the people in this land. Now, this Rush is quoted extensively. Maharil, Rabbi Yaakov ben Moshe Levi Molin of Mainz, he quotes this Rush and he adds a little bit. It's number 7. Kazav harash b'tshuvaso, sheshaaluhu al of hamikonin al habatim. So they asked him about a specific bird which nests on homes. Maybe that implies a certain level of domestication, I don't know. Imhutar, yan kiesh medino sha'ochlenoso, because there are places that eat this bird. The Heshir Shein L'smochalein. The Rush said a negative. You cannot eat this bird. The Misoros Ashkenaz Hu Chasida Adif. Because our Misora, that this is a stork, again using the artful understanding of this, is better. Shator Yerushalahem Me'avusehem Mimosa Chorban. Because we have that direct tradition, as we mentioned already. Holkach Nisame Misoros Achrini. Now, Nisame, I'm not familiar with the phrase, but I think it means either to close or to blind. So we should close ourselves off or blind ourselves from a different Mesorah, makme Mesoras didan, and we should stick to our tradition. Fine. Now we might have expected that Sfardim would be put off by this Rush and ignore it, but this is not the case. The Beis Yosef, he quotes this Rush in its entirety without any comments. We see he accepted the words of the Rush. He could have quoted the Rush regarding the bird, the halachic aspect of it. He could have left this part out. It absolutely adds nothing to the halachic aspect under discussion. Yet Beis Yosef, he quotes it in its entirety. He does not comment on it whatsoever. So you could see that in source number 8. I'm not going to read it because we already read the Rush, and you could just look through it. You'll see it's exactly the same. The Rokeach, Reb Elazar ben Yehuda ben Clonimus of Worms, and we already mentioned the Clonimus family in source number 2, he found himself defending the Mesorah of the Siddur in Ashkenaz against the French tendency of the time to add words to tefillah that developed from Sephardic influence. Now first he traces his Mesorah by listing his forebearers and his Rebbeim, and he discusses why we cannot mess around with the words in tefillah, and the following comes from his introduction to the Siddur. This is in source number 9. This is in the second paragraph down, very last line. So after listing all his Rebbeim, it's interesting to look through actually, he says, Umimenu kibalti ani hakatan sod hatfilos usha'ar sodos. He says, I, from them, from all these people listed, I have gotten the sod of the tfilos and the other sodos. Va'echdov sod hatfilos. He says, I wrote down all these sodos, l'man yeda kol adam, that everyone should know, masod babrachos, v'chavin libo la'avo l'hakadosh b'yira, and a person should concentrate, he should have kavana, to serve Hashem with fear. Now the next word, v'ashirav, I'm not really sure what it means in this context, I don't know. V'hine, edai v'sahadai b'miromim, he says, the heavens will testify for me, shelo dibarnu b'dvarim ha'ilu, lo l'chvodenu, I'm not doing this for my own kavod. V'lo l'chvod beis avosenu, nor for the kavod of my forebearers. Ella shelo yachalok aleinu hachote b'nafsho. He says, there are those that are sinning by adding words to tefillah. I'm writing all this that they should not argue with us. Ki hachobek al zeh, one who argues with our mesorah on tefillah, ki chobek al divrei Torah shenitna misinai. It's as he's arguing on the actual foundation of the Torah given over Maimon Har Sinai. And this is another good connection to Shavuos. Ki sod hatefilos, ki balnu rav meirav. We have a direct tradition on this. An nevim uzikenim vachasidim va'anshe kneses hagdola shetiknuha. All the way back to the anshe kneses hagdola that set up tefillah. V'hamosif, v'hamgorea os achas. One who adds one word, oteva achas, or one letter, Oilo bazev elabba. Woe to him in this world and the next world. Ki ein lahosif, ein lagra. You may not add, you may not take anything away. Kilo yasdu bechinam teva achas vaafilu os achas. Not even one word, not even one letter was set up for nothing. Kasher nevar veezer sabore hamlamid le'enosh bina. The Ar Zarua, Rabbi Yitzchak ben Moshe, otherwise known as Riaz, was once confronted by someone who did not like that Ashkenazim made kiddush in shul on Friday night, or Yom Tov night, since we seemingly have no reason to do so today. And I specifically want to quote this, because we make Kiddush in Shul, and at least in the shul that I daven in, it's done, and it's done in other shuls as well. It's still something that you do see, even though there is definitely a trend not to do it, and not everyone's happy with it. So this is something which is good for us to look at. And the questioner called those that practice this minhag stupid, or fools. He calls them shotim. So let's see how the Or Zarua responded to this individual, and this is in source number 10. He says, "Va'asher kasavta she'udia chasmach. This that you write that I should provide you with a source. La'osam shotim mekidish shel beis hakneses acharei she'ein yecholin latzis be'oso akidish ve'orchin ein kan. These people that make kiddush in shul, even though there are no guests, and there's no reason to do that." Tsar li alecho, he says, I feel bad for you. V'heitiv charali kinasata espicha la'achatiacha. He says, you got me upset that you allowed your mouth to sin. V'tama ani achacham v'novam kamocha. Shoysa rashai lahutzi davar mipicha. He says, I'm astounded that such a smart person like you could allow such words out of your mouth. Hello yadata, don't you know? Kam geone geonim, ukedoshe elyon, rabosenu shabbe vemejanta, vishabbe vermeiza, vishabbe spira. Those are the famous kihilos of Shum. Halomisham yatsasa Torah, lechol Yisrael. This is the root of Ashkenaz. Halonohagu miyom shenostu kol hakihilos shabirinus. Have we not been accustomed from the days that the communities were set up along the Rhine? Vishabbechol eretz Ashkenaz, umalchios shalanu, and throughout the whole, all the Ashkenaz lands, Nohagu avosenu va'avos avosenu, our fathers and our forefathers, tzadikim, kedoshim, chachamim, mechukamim, who are righteous, holy, and brilliant people, va'ata, and now, ata kosev aleim, shotim, you write that they're fools, you write they're stupid, v'halacha omeres, now, just to point out, this phrase, halacha, refers to the Yerushalmi, that's a catchphrase for Yerushalmi, we know the Yerushalmi is set up as halacha aleph, halacha beis, so v'halacha omeres, based on the Yerushalmi, it says, v'atem, Mikheven shenohagu avosenu nochei nefesh al tishanu miminhag avosechem. Once your forefathers were accustomed to doing something, you may not change. Ki lo davar reku, and this is also a Maimer Chazal, it's not something which is empty. V'im hu reik, and if it appears to be empty, mechasri habina, it's from your lack of knowledge. Umeirekane hamoach hu reik, it's from your lack of brain power. I would hate to be on the receiving end of this. Sha'avosenu nohagu kidin uchatora. Because what our forefathers have done is proper and correct. And now, of course, in the middle, he has the whole tshuva, which we're skipping. And he ends off, V'ato ish navam v'chacham. He says, you're a smart person. V'tiya daitecha nemucha neged rabosecha nochi nefesh. You should lower your knowledge to our rabbanim. L'ma'an tarich yamim v'shanim v'esek ha-Torah u'bikiyum ha-mitzvos. In order that your years should be extended in Torah and in mitzvos. Now, just to point out, since so many shuls still make Kiddush, you should see the tshuva inside. But he basically gives, if I recall properly, he gives two reasons. One is, he says, it was never set up for Archim at all. He says it's set up for Kavod Shabbos. And he goes and he proves that. And he says, and even if you want to say it was set up for Archim, even if the Takana, even if there are no more guests, the Takana is not batel, right? We rarely are ever mevatle takana because the reason disappeared. Okay, so let's skip to the Achronim, and we'll see that they continued this same line of thinking. Bionis and Ivashitz, in the Plesi, while discussing the dinim of Trefos, he writes that some Rabbanim questioned some of the halachos that were being filed in Ashkenaz. And this is on the back, top left corner. And he writes, the gadol lebale horos ma'arivayel, Heviu b'tshuva shalo bar. Says the great Maharil brings as follows. Davar kabbalah haya biyadenu mekadmonim. We have an accepted tradition. Ki haTorah haya masar lechachmei Ashkenaz. That the Torah was given over to the chachamim of Ashkenaz. Ubika matzu v'gadru gader. And we mentioned already that there were times when in Ashkenaz life was rough and people were thrown out from place to place. And they had to come in and be mechazik the Mesorah. Vikimu vikiblu lasos kifishitas maharivail. And it's very common in Ashkenaz that we follow the Maharil. And that was one of the main svarim they used when they upheld the Mesorah. Imkain, ich efshar levatlo. How could we stop following these gedolim? Skip down two lines. Avolze lo ala bilibi. Shia gedole hador ko'ile asher mehamamish yotze Torah ba'ashkenaz v'agopel yitu b'devorim pshutim ke'ile. He says it's impossible to say like these other gedolim want to say that what was being done in Ashkenaz based on this custom, whatever it was a mistake. He says it's impossible. Ve'in zerak misora b'yadam mekadmonim ve'kiblu la'asus kain. They're just following the accepted tradition. Vim kain hare iser gomer l'shanos minhagza. You may not change. Kaimun she'eno b'tos. It wasn't vade. It wasn't a mistake. Uma nada asher lo yaduhem. What do we know that they did not know? And we see clearly from here that if something is vada a mistake, you do change it. V'harbe divareha sheyesh b'mesora mashalo nizkar b'divrei chazal. There are many things that we have a tradition on. We have no source from chazal. Kimo, and he gives an example. Basar shesha gimel yamim b'li melicha v'chadome. V'chas v'shalom l'shanos v'chas v'shalom l'hakel. Because that would be a break in the tradition that we have from our fathers, and we know that they had the proper tradition. And they didn't make a mistake on simple matters. And he ends off with this pasuk, which is understood by many to be a lav midivrei hanaviim, that you're not allowed to change and accept the tradition that you have. Rabbi Yaakov Emden, in his Siddur, Amudei Shemayim, he goes on a long discourse discussing the brachos of Shmona Esrei and the general differences in Mesorah between Ashkenaz and Sfard. And it would be really excellent to see the entire thing, but we can't. So let's just see towards the end of the piece. He discusses how really both Mesorahs are equal. And then he says how we can both be correct on everything and how we should each research our Mesoros and we should find proofs to bolster our Mesorah. So let's pick it up there, number 12 on the bottom of the page. It says, Umachmas, Shein lanu yidia berura, bi'an mi ha-kabbalah hane'emana harishona bezeh. He says, we don't really know who has the original Kabbalah on Tefillah. Lachin kol echad machazik b'shalo. Therefore, you should follow your Mesorah. Ve'osalo smuchus mashayuchal, and get whatever proofs you can to uphold your Mesorah. Ve'moha echad matzah smach, and if one side finds a source and the other one does not, then you see which one is stronger. Achar shebnei Ashkenaz muchzakin b'kabbalah son. He says, certainly we could say this regarding the Ashkenaz tradition. Kamo shekal sefar rosh b'tshuva, yoser harbe mehasfardim, much more so than Spanish Jewry. And now we're going to discuss Spanish Jewry. We mentioned this in the beginning briefly. This is the source I was referring to. Im shenoda gizam megalos Yerushalayim. We know that the Sfardim have roots going back to Yerushalayim. Gam hayu lahem geone bavel, morim umelamdim. They had great Babylonian masters. Kigon Rabbi Moshe, Rabbi Chanoch beno. So this is a famous legend of the four captives, four Rabbanim who were sent out. They were held for ransom. They wound up in North Africa. So these were two of the Rabbanim. Chanoch ben Moshe, Rav Chanoch ben Moshe, is the Rebbe of Rav Shmuel Hanagid. I don't know if he himself was in Spain or if he was only in North Africa, but apparently these are considered the great Talmidei Chachamim who helped to establish Sephardic Jewry. Umin Az V'Hala, and from this time and onwards, from the time that these Rabbanim came to Sfard, or to North Africa, whatever the direct connection is to Spain, Ha'emidu Talmidei Chachamim Gedolim B'Torah. They had great Torah giants. Ach Kodem Zeh, but before this time period, and even the Rush writes that and the Rush lived after this Rav Moshe and Rav Chanoch. Hoyu Reikonim Ma'od. He says the Ame Ha'aretz, the basic people were Ame Ha'aretz. Lo Nispashit B'nehem HaTalmud L'fnei Zeh Klal. He says that they didn't know much. They didn't have knowledge of Gemara. They didn't. I think the Rush writes they didn't even know Hebrew. They didn't know how to read. They didn't know how to daven. Masha Einkin b'nei Yisrael Shaba Ashkenaz. He says we can contrast this to Ashkenaz Jewry. Shlo Pascha Mehem Yeshiva Dora Achar Dor Miyemos Achurban. They never lacked learning from the times of the Bayis Sheni. Nosu Nafsham Al Yidias Ushmira Satora. They literally were Moser Nefesh over Torah. And in Sfard they were as well, but in Ashkenaz, unfortunately, they were more so. Im Kain, Bivadai Kadmu Lahem Biyidia Prateha Al Hanachon. So he says, funny Lashon, he says that when it comes to specific matters of the proper tradition, you should make sure to follow the Ashkenaz Misora. Then he mentions, just further on in the piece, he mentions how things were forgotten due to the tzaraots of the time, like Rabbi Yonos and Eibeshitz mentioned, and interesting because I chose these two because they were the great Bar Pluktus. They argued with each other tremendously when they were alive, but they literally say the same thing, that they were tzaraots, they reestablished things based on their earlier misoros, they never let things slide until they were reestablished, and things were fixed up. Chassam Sofer quotes this Rabbi Yaakov Emdin. It's quoted extensively all over the place. One more source, even more modern. I mean, we skipped so many. Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe also connected himself back to the Masorah of Ashkenaz in the same way we've been discussing. Rav Moshe was questioned by a person who davened Nusach Ashkenaz only because he went to an Ashkenaz school and davened in an Ashkenaz shul. And this is a common thing. However, his father and previous generations all davened Nusach Sfar since they were Hasidim. So this person, with this Hasidish background, he wanted to know if he should go back to Nusach Sfar, which is his own Nusach, or should he continue to daven Ashkenaz? Rav Moshe responded in number 13 as follows. He writes, Hine Yadua, it's known, Shekol Anshe Polin V'Ungaran V'Rusland, all of the Polish Jewry, Hungarian Jewry, Russian Jewry, Levad Mekomos Harachokim Karim, except for distant places in Russia that are of Sephardic tradition. And he quotes someplace, I don't know, Kavkaz, Chedoma. Heim b'nei Ashkenaz, afa chasidim, v'ad shenis pashto shitas ha-chasidus, and until the times that chasidus spread, hispalu kulam b'nosach Ashkenaz, everyone davened Ashkenaz. Acharkach, hischilu roshe ha-chasidim, lahanig l'hispal b'nosach echod, v'eze shinuyim. What happened was the Hasidic leaders began to daven one nosach, with slight changes in it. V'nimsa, she'ein la'hachashiv shinoi minhag masha haschalas l'ispal nusach Ashkenaz. Because we cannot call the fact that you're davening Ashkenaz a change. Af she'avicha va'od beiz v'gimel doros hischilu l'ispal menusach ha'chadash. Even though if we went back two or three generations, they were davening this new nusach of Sfard. She'harei adiraba. It's exactly the opposite. Heim shinu minhag avosehem. They changed
from Ashkenaz to Sfard. Ve'yadua tambor b'mashei tiru l'shanos nusach ha'kavui. He says, I don't know what, based on what, who allowed them to do such a thing. Now, of course, we're skipping the tshuva, and at the end he says, al kalpanim, in anu me'ararim al ilu shashinu. He says, we're not coming to make trouble on those that daven Sfard. Ki vadai hoya lahem tam sherashayim l'shanos b'zeh. He says, they had reasons. It's mutter. Aval, kisha'echad rotze lachzor ule hispal nusach ashkenaz, shu nusach avosenu v'rabosenu. But one who wants to go back to reestablish the old minhag, vadai rashai shahare chuzer likad muso. And according to Ramosha, I don't know if everyone agrees to this, but certainly this is what Rabbi Hamburger says, and I think it's certainly mashma from his words, that you could always reinstate an old lost minhag. If you know it's your Mesorah, based on this Ramosha, you have the right to go back to your original roots. Now, just this is a total side point, in case someone's wondering about Temanim, because you say, oh, they have an older Mesorah than we do from Bayis Rishon. So just real briefly, it's true the Temanim did not have Western influence, but they definitely had Arabic influence, which for sure had an influence on their Mesorah. And even more importantly than that, they did not have the same shmira of Rabbanim, Gidolim, and Yeshivos, Midor Achar Dor, as we had from Ashkenaz, so much so that they took Rambam as their posik, and Rambam is not even the Sephardi Mesorah, it's Rambam's psak, and Rambam is not a Temani. So that kind of takes away from the idea that everything Temanim do is exactly the way it was done by Bayis Rishon. That's an impossibility. And later also they were influenced by Arizal and others, etc. So, again, that's just a total side point. Anyway, this is just literally a drop in the vast response on Ashkenazim, on our Mesorah, and the way in which it was guarded. And I hope that everyone in Klal Yisrael will keep to and stick with their Mesoros. And if anyone from a different background finds these words that we've quoted here uncomfortable, then I hope that it spurs you to stick even more strongly to your Mesorah. Thank you for listening.